Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hello, Rickies. Happy Friday morning. We are the Junks. We're coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan, the Team 980. Monumental Sports Network on the TV side. We're brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junks. If you're looking to be the next five-star technician, just go to cropmetcalf.com. You got a Junks tandem to get you through this Friday early morning show. You got Cakes at Money Metal Cakes on your Twitter, at Cakes Flops on the very seldom used Instagram. Jason Bishop is also here.
Happy Friday, Mr. Cakes.
Happy payday Friday, as you pointed out.
It is a payday. Put some of that money in savings.
Got to sock it away. Just got to sock away some of the money.
As much as you can.
Force savings. Force yourself to live on less.
Correct.
Is the key.
Correct.
Save it for that rainy day.
Because you never know.
You never know when it's coming.
You just need as much as you can dip into.
That's correct.
So put as much as you can into your savings account.
Like, it was a rainy day if you were betting on the Carolina Tar Heels yesterday. It was a rainy day if you were betting on the Arizona Wildcats in the Sweet 16. Rainy day for you.
Don't you wish you could have it back?
I bet you do wish you could have it back.
Yep, and the Survivor Pool has concluded.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the winner.
Winner is, his name rhymes with Maytee Maine.
JP takes down the Survivor Pool.
Unfortunately.
As he's luxuriating on his vacation.
We'll never hear the end of it, that he won it.
So very good for him.
Yes, he does.
I told Cakes I was surprised I didn't wake up to a Venmo request.
Right. Or a text saying, now, oh, look who won.
To take care of some housekeeping, I have already Venmo'd you the $10 because I was out of the Survivor Pool on day one because I bet on stupid BYU.
Yes.
Who was upset in the first round.
Correct.
So I am in the clear.
Drabby and Valdez will have to pay JP $10 each.
I am good.
When they see him.
Oh, I'm going to Venmo you.
You're Venmoing me.
I don't want to give you
money.
I'm giving it to you. Satisfaction.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Is that what it is?
Yeah. I have $10 cash on me right now. I'll give it to you during the break.
All right. Okay. That's fine.
That is kind of fun.
Well, he nets $150.
Yeah, good. Good for him. That's a nice score.
And he won because he took UConn and, of course, Arizona, who three of us took, including me and Valdez. And North Carolina, who Bodie took, both big fat losers.
Now, did you have a bigger stake on Arizona in a different Survivor Pool?
I did.
Oh, it's not great.
It was a $7,000 pot, and there was still a ton of people left.
Yeah,
138 started,
sure,
down to 64. But yeah, I had Arizona in that pool as well.
Mm-hmm.
Should have hedged it a little bit,
right?
Maybe played UConn in that one, but I decided to save UConn, and Arizona was just. I mean, they took a lead second half, but they were bad in the first 10 minutes. And Caleb Love was a bad basketball player last night. He was a bad hoopster. And he was taking bad shots. He went 0-for-9 from threes. Pac-12 player of the year, 0-for-9. RJ Davis, ACC player of the year, 0-for-9 from threes.
Wow.
0-18 for
that
those two.
That is gross.
Yeah.
So not.
And you know what? People wanted to see those two teams play in the Elite Eight,
right.
Carolina and Arizona. Especially since RJ Davis and Caleb Love don't like each other. They played together at North Carolina. They don't like each other.
Oh, there's bad blood there.
Oh, yeah.
As Taylor Swift would say, bad blood.
Caleb Love said, I'm out.
Mm.
And they wanted to see, I wanted to see that rematch.
Got it.
We are not going to see it.
So not a good night for the higher seeds outside of UConn, who, I mean, UConn are just dismantling teams.
Yep.
I mean, they look like they're on their way to a repeat because they took the team that they faced in the national title game last year
and pummeled
them. Beat them by 30. They punked them.
Well, I mean, they're just so good at every position. And
they didn't even play their A game yesterday, last night.
Yeah, I mean,
that was the shocking part.
Especially in the first half, yeah. Second half, probably they did. But San Diego State is just, they got one guy, Ladie, who he's pretty good, but they only have one guy who can score. So UConn had no problem with San Diego
for
State.
For an outsider that has no UConn ties, I find it hard to root for Dan Hurley. He just doesn't seem like a guy that's easy to root for. Though I'm sure
could see that.
I'm sure somebody would say, well, if you got to know him or if you had a drink with him, he's a great guy. We hear that all the time.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Who seemingly surly guys.
But remember when Bobby Hurley was playing at Duke, everyone felt, certainly Maryland fans, but everybody, unless you were a Duke fan, you felt the same way about Bobby.
Sure.
You
know, absolutely.
Anti-Hurley.
Right. But,
a guy can coach.
Guy can definitely coach.
And
you know what? He can definitely coach better than his brother, too. His brother's been wallowing around at Arizona State for, has it been close to a decade now? Drab, you're a big Arizona State hoops guy. Bobby Hurley's been there for a while.
I don't know if it's been quite that long.
I think it's like 8 or 9 years at this point that Bobby Hurley's been hanging around at Arizona State.
You might be right.
They're going to tell him to pack his bags and get out of Tempe before long. The San Diego State.
And he's fiery, too. 100%.
Right, absolutely. Well, I mean, they're sons of a legendary coach. So
yeah,
that
this was year nine.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, almost a decade.
And another higher seed goes down. That was a 3-2 matchup with Illinois and Iowa State. But Illinois gets the win by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
So the 2 seed, Iowa State there, goes out. And that was in the East region.
You know, Terrence Shannon is just a complete stud.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody can guard him. He might be the best player in the country outside of Zach Edey. The only reason Zach Edey's player of the year is because he's 7'4".
Right.
And he's 300 pounds, massive. You can't guard him. But Terrence Shannon's probably the most skilled player in college basketball. And what's funny about Terrence Shannon, all right, if you don't follow this, mm-hmm. is Terrence Shannon is going to have a rape trial in May.
Right.
Terrence Shannon does not talk to the media.
Mm-hmm.
All right, his lawyers have said, don't talk to the media.
Right.
He can talk basketball, but he's decided, I'm just not going to talk to anybody.
That probably makes sense.
He goes out, and he's got this whole thing, this black cloud over mm-hmm. his head. And I don't know what happened in Lawrence, mm-hmm. Kansas, between Shannon and the girl.
Right.
Only two people know.
Mm-hmm.
But if a jury is convinced he raped her, he's going to jail. His NBA career is done.
Right.
He's going to jail for, I don't know, 10, 15 years.
I would imagine.
And he's going out there and he's bawling and scoring 30 against the best defense in the country.
Right.
I don't know how he mentally can handle it.
Poured in 29 last night.
I don't know how he does it. And he's been doing this for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah.
But, so Illinois, 2-2s and a 1 go down
mm-hmm.
last night.
Yep. So you have another 4 games on tap tonight. You got NC State against Marquette. That's an 11-2 matchup. Gonzaga versus Purdue, a 5-1. That's a 7:39 tip
mm-hmm.
on TBS or True TV. I'm not sure which. Then your late slate is Duke-Houston. That's a 4-1 matchup. That is a South Region matchup. And Creighton-Tennessee, Jason, just for you,
yeah.
the 10:09
tip.
They're taking care of you. They're super serving you on a Friday.
I'm
going
to have to drink some Don't Sleep at around 9.
I think you probably will have to.
I wanted to stay up and watch the late games last night, but my body just wouldn't let me. I don't know. I don't know how much you guys watched.
Your body betrayed you.
But the Bama-Carolina game I really wanted to watch,
mm-hmm.
but I couldn't stay up.
I stayed up. It's so disappointing. And nothing against, you know, fans of Clemson or Alabama.
Right.
But
right.
When you have U of A versus UNC right there for the taking, and
right.
now you got to watch Clemson on Saturday.
You got to watch Clemson
night.
And Bama, but, right.
It's just kind of
nuts. And it's not a football game.
Yeah. This was the college football playoff.
That's what's tilting is that those two schools, they've had such a great run football-wise that it just seems greedy that they're actually good in hoops, too.
Right.
Like, you should be... If you're great in one, you shouldn't be this good in another avenue. Like, you should be kind of nubs in basketball if your team is always in the college football playoff. But these two teams are bucking that trend, obviously advancing.
Yeah, stay in your lane.
Right. I mean, like, you're Alabama football. Like, I know that you're basketball.
Leave some scraps for us.
Yeah. I mean, can you help us out a little bit? the teams that don't get in the college football playoff every year.
Well,
the Maryland's of the world.
That is true.
The Virginia Tech's of the world.
The Virginia Tech's, I get it, but you know, Clemson hasn't been to an Elite Eight since 1980.
Understood. Like they've
when
they've
they had
been
Larry
down.
Nance. Yeah, who, but they're back.
They've had some good players come through Clemson in years.
Yeah.
Guys like Eldon Campbell.
Had some really good teams.
Sherrone Wright jumps back to him back in the day.
Couldn't get past that Sweet 16 level.
Right.
And their coach, Brad Brunell, was told last year by the new athletic director.
Right.
If you don't get to the tournament, this is last year.
Okay.
If you don't get to the tournament, you're fired.
It's sayonara.
But he decided to hang on to him for one more year, and then this year they get to the Elite Eight.
Yeah, so now he'll get a contract extension.
Maybe he's got some more security.
Yeah.
But, Drabby, I agree, man. I was really looking forward to seeing Arizona and Carolina. I was convinced Arizona would just outscore Clemson, but they couldn't hit a shot in the first half, and obviously Caleb Love couldn't hit a three. Love and Larson's, they're top two three-point shooters. Their backcourt went 1 for 15 for three.
I think I heard somewhere that the last 4 years, Arizona has lost to a seed, has lost to someone that was seeded five spots, I guess, beneath them.
Yeah.
They've done that for four straight seasons or four straight times in the tournament.
Right.
They have a history of letting the lesser teams, the lower seeds, end up beating them in the first couple rounds.
100%. And Tommy Lloyd's got a little heat on him now because they've been to the Sweet 16 for the last 3 years, and they've been a one or a two seed in those 3 years, and they've not gotten past that, including last night.
Yeah.
It's just crazy.
I watched a little bit of the Sweet 16 games. More of my attention was focused on the Caps dud in Toronto. Mm-hmm. And you were asking me about this yesterday before the game. You were like, do you feel good about it?
I knew you
not
didn't.
Not really. I don't feel great about facing the Maple Leafs in Toronto in a one-off game away from Capital One Arena against a team that just smoked the Caps, I want to say like 8 or 10 days ago. Same thing happens last night in Toronto. Caps fall behind 1-0 in the first period. And then, like, I think 10 seconds into the second period or 18 seconds into the second period,
they scored again.
Tyler Bertuzzi puts one behind Chucky. And then they're down 2-0.
Right.
Dowd tried to keep it close. They got to 2-1, but then they just didn't have anything left in the tank.
Mm.
But
the Toronto Maple Leafs have scored 12 goals against the Caps in the last two games.
Yes, that's correct. Now
that's high octane.
The
bro.
Silver lining, and that was with Austin Matthews questionable heading into the game with an illness. Now he did play, but he didn't score.
Right, I think he had an assist.
And I think Mitch Marner is sidelined too. One of their other studs.
Yeah.
They can turn to guys like Nylander, who I think has like, I think he's got 80 plus points.
He's got a ton of points.
He might have like 90 points. Like that team is just loaded.
Yeah.
Now the silver lining is the Flyers also take one on the chin. They drop a 4-1 decision to Montreal. And the Hurricanes shut out the Red Wings.
So all of the
teams around them
lost.
Lost.
Correct.
So the Caps didn't give up any ground. Now they can come back, recover a game against Boston at Capital One tomorrow.
So none of those losses were overtime losses, correct?
No. Okay. The Hurricanes won 4-0,
right,
and the Canadiens won 4-1.
Okay, so they didn't lose any ground.
Didn't lose any ground, so that's the good news.
But now you got to play Boston in Boston.
No, it's actually here.
Oh, it's here. Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's back at Cap 1.
All right, so you play Boston, who's got 99 points.
Yeah, the Bruins are at the Caps. That's a 7 p.m. puck drop tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
From D.C.
Well, hopefully.
I just didn't have a good vibe heading into last night's game.
I didn't either.
That was kind of the way it played
out.
And
I figured one of those other teams would win, you know, either Philly or Detroit, but luckily they didn't.
Right.
So we're still in the same spot, and I'm guessing the money puck.
Oh, yeah, I need to check money. I need the daily update here. I'll
maybe it's
right
about
now.
The same percentage. What was it yesterday, 72%?
No, it was like in the 60s.
Okay, all right.
The Caps, Caps chances of making the playoffs, spicy number, 69%.
Okay.
So their odds actually went up from yesterday with a loss.
Well,
they're tickling that 70% number of LDs.
10 games left.
I wish I had a dollar every time Cakes checked that site.
I love me some moneypuck.com. I wish they would let me do some live reads for them. Spread the word. You know what? They're like, why? You talk about it every single day, stupid. We're not going to pay you to do it. You're already doing it for free.
I mean, yesterday.
Economics 101.
Yesterday was just a crazy day of sports. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot going on.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I wasn't happy with the results, obviously.
Right.
But there was so much going on. Obviously, you had opening day baseball. Mm-hmm. You had Sweet 16, four games. You had the caps. You had the pro days for the quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot to get into. So coming up at 6:45, we will get in, we will juxtapose Orioles opening day against Nationals opening day yesterday. Spoiler alert, one was good.
One was bad.
One was not so good. So we'll do that at 6:45. Coming up next, though, we will be joined by Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end. He co-hosts the Take Command podcast with our pal Craig Hoffman. He'll help break down Drake May and Jaden Daniels' pro days. We will do that next here on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Guest lineup on the show today. Kevin McCarthy will join us at 7. We'll talk movies and more with him. John Feinstein will join us at 8, as he does every Friday. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk Major League Baseball with John Shambi, Major League Baseball play-by-play voice for both the Cubs and the big games on ESPN. He will be with us at 9:20.
We could talk some college hoops with him, too.
Yep. But right now, we go to the BetQL guest hotline. We're joined by Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end. Co-host the Take Command podcast with our pal Craig Hoffman. What's up, Logan? Good morning.
Not much, man. Good morning. You guys are animals, man, for this early morning schedule. So for you guys.
Trust us.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's killing us.
It's a grind.
I was going to say slowly. I don't even know if it's that slowly, to be honest. Probably rapidly. Yeah, that's probably the way it's.
What are you up at 6:24?
I mean, I have clients that I train. You know, I do have like a personal training business on the side. So okay. My first client's at 7, so get up, around 6:15.
Very good. Logan's going to tell us. Hard. He's going to go tell
I would
us
love
burpees
to,
and crunches as soon as we're done with this interview.
I would love to be able to get up at 6:15 every day.
It's cool.
Right. Sleep in a little bit for you
exactly.
guys.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Logan, let's get into the pro days for both Drake May and Jaden Daniels. And before we drill down on those guys specifically, how big of a piece of the puzzle do you think Pro Day is for Adam Peters and his staff when they're flying into Baton Rouge to see Daniels, and then the next day they're in Chapel Hill to see Drake May throw? How big is that? You know, when you throw in their college tape, the combine, the personal interviews, how big is the Pro Day for these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal. I think it's just another data point in terms of, you know, the GM, Dan Quinn, all these guys, getting to meet them one more time. You know, they don't get that many opportunities to kind of like interact with them. Obviously, you mentioned the combine interview, but if you think about it, it's the combine interview, it's the pro day, and then it's maybe the official visit. So of those three, can I kind of get a feel for the guy? And I think that's where the value really comes in. It's not necessarily what you're seeing on the field. I think it's like it kind of confirms some things. Like for me, it's just kind of like, oh, you know, it just isolates the quarterback's mechanics a little bit more, lets you see kind of what the stuff they've been working on since the season ended. But, you know, it's the films probably, for me, probably like 80%, the combines, you know, 10%, and then this would kind of fill out the rest. And I don't have access to the interview stuff, which I think is maybe the most important part of that process. But, you know, for me and the way I evaluate, that's kind of how I look at it. But, yeah, I think it's more of just another data point to kind of, hey, let's go out to dinner tonight. Let's see how you are with the hostess. Let's see how you are around your teammates. Let's make sure you're the type of guy we want in the in our program that's going to lead the program, be the face of the franchise for the next decade. And I think that's why the pro days are so, so critical.
I know that the pro days are generally pretty scripted by the, you know, the staff, the handlers, the people that are surrounding these top prospects. Like, but if Adam Peters goes to one of these pro days, and I'm not picking out anybody specific, and say he doesn't see something that he wants to see, can he go up to Jaden or Drake May or whoever's running the pro day and say, I want to see, can we see X, Y, and Z? Because we haven't seen that yet. Like, or is it just, you're going to see what this person is going to, you know, has on the schedule, and they're not really going to deviate from the script. Can you give any insight on that?
Yeah, from what I understand, it's pretty much like that's why you do the pro day, because it's in the player's hands. So like from a player's perspective, that's why I want to do my pro day, because I get to show you what I think you need to see. And so I think like if you look at Drake May's pro day, right, I think he did a lot of stuff that kind of said, hey, look at my mechanics. I've cleaned them up a little bit over the last couple of days. I think when you say with Jaden Daniels, it was a little bit more like things that spoke to his skill set, like quick release. The deep balls, obviously, I think he missed two of them, but I think overall pretty solid day. And then Caleb Williams, I thought was interesting because it's just like, hey man, you know, this is what I do. I can play in structure. I have good footwork. I have good fundamentals. So it was really like any question that could have come up in the process that, you know, is this guy ready to be an NFL starting quarterback? These are steps that I've taken individually. You know, these three guys we just talked about to kind of clean up some of those things and kind of present a better case as to why I should be picked in the top five.
Logan, do you think that Quinn and Peters knew who they wanted going into the pro days? And if not, do you think they know who they want now?
You know, what's funny is I've heard multiple stories from different scouts and, you know, GM type people where it's like, oh, we knew weeks before we went to the pro day. I personally think that they don't know specifically yet. I think they have a pretty good idea. I think just because they got started so late, you know, obviously Dan's been dealing with obviously hiring the staff and, you know, getting everything kind of acclimated here in Ashburn. And I think Adam is kind of, you know, had to hit the ground running. And I think I don't want to say they're behind the process, but I think they're just being extra thorough. And I think they started later than everybody else in the NFL. So
right.
I think they have a pretty good idea, but I don't think they have it definitively defined yet. And honestly, like, I don't think anything that you would have seen at the pro day would change that. I think maybe some of the conversations they had with those guys at the pro day might be swaying them one way or another. But I think it's also important to remember, like, the coaches also start evaluating quarterbacks, start evaluating offensive talent much, much later. It starts kind of right around now, maybe a week ahead of this. So those inputs are still going to be coming in. They're still going to be having conversations with guys like Cliff. So I think it's still a very fluid process. And, you know, I don't think there's any issue with that.
Mm-hmm. Logan, I think a lot of people were holding their breath as Jaden Daniels stepped on the scale in Baton Rouge during his pro day because he didn't do that at the combine. So he measured at 6'3 plus, almost 6'4. But the more important measurable there was his weight. He comes in at 210, and there's been a lot of speculation about, well, this guy's going to get killed on the pro level. Look at the thunderous hits he's taking in the SEC. It's only going to get worse when he's in the NFL. Did that help soothe some of the fears from people that, look, he's 210. Do you want him at 220? Sure, but right now he's 210, could probably add some weight to that frame. So does that help answer some questions for people about Jaden's height and weight?
I mean, I'm sure it does for some people. For me, it didn't really matter. Like, I think the thing about Jaden, when you watch him play, there's obviously he's taking these big hits, but I do think there's kind of a pliability to his body that prevents him from taking injuries. You know, like he doesn't get hurt on these scrambling hits because he is kind of he's like flexible. You know, like when the hit comes, he kind of morphs around the defender's body and isn't in a position where he's like in a rigid static structure that's going to cause him to get injured. So, you know, like I think people make a lot of the weight as a durability thing. You know, like Nate Tice is always talking about how there's been no successful, small, underweight quarterbacks in the last 15 years outside of guys like Kirk Cousins. And I understand that, but I think everybody's a little bit different. I think everyone's got a little bit different play style. And I don't think this is going to drastically affect him positively or negatively one way or the other. And I think we all know that he's added weight. If he's not running his 40, he's added weight to get to this number. So this is like an artificially inflated number a little bit. I think he can hold more weight. I think he looks fine at 210. But for me, it's not a huge data point.
So I didn't see the May Pro Day. I just saw some highlights, read some things. I assume you saw it. So was there anything that kind of flashed for you, or was it pretty steady? I did read that he had a couple mishaps early. Maybe that was nerves. I don't know. Then he settled down and threw some nice deep balls at the end. But what did you make of it?
Yeah, so I think, the thing with Drake is, like, when you watch him, when you watch his college film, he's extremely talented. And I think you saw that yesterday with his pro day. He's obviously got, arm talent, kind of to spare. But I think the problem with him that I keep coming back to, and the reason I have a hard time kind of, pushing him up the board a little bit for me personally, is there's an inconsistency to his play. And then I think that stems from his footwork. So I think on a couple of his early misses, you saw some issues, like with his weight transfer, he's kind of leaving his front leg open, the ball's staying a little high, gets away from him. And that's kind of what he was in college, is he's got this tremendous talent. He's delivering this awesome throw, and the next throw is a little bit off because his feet, his arm angle, his mechanics aren't totally locked in. So I think that in some ways it just kind of informed what you already saw. But I think he did make an effort, I thought, to kind of clean up some of that stuff. And I thought outside of probably, I think it was four or five throws, looked pretty consistent. But, it's hard as a talent evaluator to be like, man, he's gonna really have this locked in for week one, and we're going to be able to play in week one when these fundamental issues, I think, kind of keep cropping up. Again, he's probably the most talented guy, or probably has the most upside of the top four guys. But, the fundamental issue, the fundamentals issues mm-hmm. keep popping up. And it's unusual that it happens when you're throwing the football in air, I think.
So. Is that something that can be worked out?
I think 100%. Yeah. I mean, I think you saw an improvement from the season. I think that's why some, like, Dan Orlovsky is really high on him all of a sudden, is because, oh, he's worked on his fundamentals. But I think you see that every single year. You see guys for their pro day look a little bit cleaner than they did in season. And then when they get to training camp, they've kind of reverted back to some of the old fundamentals. And I think what it does show you as a talent evaluator is that you can get some of that stuff corrected. And if you can get some of that stuff corrected, I think you get really excited about where his ceiling is, because like when you watch his big time throws, when you watch his ability to kind of make plays from the pocket and extend plays, and it's high level stuff. He probably has the highest kind of, I would say, great in that area of any of those top four guys in the class. So he's an exciting prospect for sure, but there is a lot of uncertainty about him. And again, because of the inconsistent mechanics, it's like he has a really high ceiling, also a pretty low floor. And it really depends on the environment that he's going to. Do the Commanders have the ecosystem around him from a quarterback mentoring standpoint, from a receiver talent standpoint, from an offensive line standpoint, from a defensive standpoint, to allow him to be the best version of himself over the next 5 years of the length of that rookie deal? And I think that's the big question that, and that's why Adam Peters makes a ton of money, is for questions like that.
Joined by Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end, co-host the Take Command podcast with Craig Hoffman. Let's switch over to Daniels for just a second. What do you make of people who ding him because he's surrounded by crazy talent at LSU? He's throwing to two first-round wideouts that'll be in this upcoming draft as well, along with him. In my opinion, you shouldn't fault a guy because he's got good guys to throw to, but some of these guys are getting wide open down the field. Those windows are going to shrink in the NFL. Is that something that Adam Peters and company are thinking about, or does that concern them?
I mean, they can only speak to what they're concerned about and what they're thinking about. But for me, I think the thing that sticks out is just, they're talented guys. Joe Burrow was also throwing to talented guys. Mm-hmm. Like, you just have to look at the types of throws he's making, his process in the pocket, his process at the line of scrimmage, and say, what is transferable? I think that's one of the things about Jaden Daniels' film is, they're, in terms of throws over the middle of the field, timing throws, full field reads, there are elements of that when you watch his film. It's just not in the volume of some of the other guys, like a J.J. McCarthy, for example. So you have to extrapolate a lot off of a smaller number of throws, smaller number of opportunities. But I think the thing with Jaden Daniels that gets you super excited just all the time, anytime you're watching his film, is he is just such a consistent playmaker. He's got great poise. And again, when the team needs him to do something dramatic, he's able to deliver at the highest level. And, you know, obviously his running ability is well talked about. But I think he does have an excellent release. And I think you saw it at the pro day. His mechanics and his fundamentals when it comes to throwing the football are very, very high. He's very clean in that area. And it allows him to, again, make some of these throws over the middle of the field work through full field progressions because he's trusting his feet, he's trusting his rhythm, he's trusting his timing. So in some ways, I think he's a little bit more better developed. And, you know, I think those things, the rhythms, the arm mechanics, the athleticism are things that it doesn't matter who he's throwing the ball to because those things are going to be transferable to the NFL level. Regardless of the receiver and the talent that's out there for him to throw the ball to. So
Logan, this team is in a really good spot in terms of draft capital. All right. Coming off the bad year, you know, obviously they restructured the roster. Number two pick, going to be a quarterback, but they've got the 36th pick and the 40th pick. So you're going to get two really good players there in the second round, early in the second round. Then you've got three third rounders. So you've got six picks in the top 100. And that's just now. I mean, that's on paper. Maybe they make some moves on draft day or draft weekend and acquire more. But after the quarterback, what do you like them to do at 36, 40, and maybe into the third round?
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I've appreciated about Adam Peters' process is they've done a really good job of filling the roster, so you don't really need to draft for need. You can draft for best talent available. I think you still have offensive line, specifically talent, circled at 36. It'll be interesting to see how that progresses over the next couple of weeks as, you know, all these kind of draft analysts are taking these players that were really, really good football players that were going to be there at 36 to play offensive line, and slowly they're creeping up into like the mid-20s, which is always what happens with offensive linemen, especially in a year where, you know, safety's down, cornerback's not as dense, there's no linebackers going to go in the first round, edge rushers a little bit light this year in the first round. So, you know, as the process goes on, it'll be interesting to see how they handle that. I think 36 would be a great opportunity for a guy like Kingsley Sua-Mataia or Patrick Paul, guys that are very, very athletically gifted, but there's a little bit of a developmental process to their game. And I think at 36 or 40, if there's a talented edge rusher there, you know, like Demaryius Robinson from Missouri, I think he fits Dan's vision of having physical, talented, tough players. And I think he kind of fits that mold. But there's also guys like Noah Ellis from Utah, who has tremendous pass rush upside. So there are guys there. It's just about kind of what's your flavor and how the board falls to you, honestly. And I think Adam's done a great job of saying, you know, we've filled needs, and so we don't have to reach or don't have to force anything here. We can get the best person, best talent available. But I do think those two spots specifically, I think you need a corner, a guy that's going to be kind of a game changer on the outside would be awesome to just to add depth to that position. But again, that might be something that happens in, you know, after the draft in terms of free agency, someone gets cut, they might need some veteran leadership there. So I think those are kind of the three positions I would just kind of circle in pencil and say, if I was targeting something, those are positions I would look at. And then I think for the latter third round picks there, I'd probably look at receiver. It's just such a dense receiver class. It's just such a talented group. I think you need to come out of this draft with one of those guys. It just depends on where you feel the value is. And quite honestly, like, I've done about 30 receivers, and I'd say 20 of them are probably third, you know, like third round players and up. Yeah. So I think there's a tremendously talented group there. So I think you can kind of make that pick wherever you need to make it. But those are the four positions I'd kind of say keep an eye on in the draft, specifically in those top 100 picks.
I don't know if you know this, but your last name has changed today. It's Logan Peters.
Yeah, it certainly is.
No.
So who is Logan Peters selecting at number two, assuming Caleb Williams is off the board?
Yeah, I mean, this is the million-dollar question, honestly, and something everyone asks me all the time. And if you had an hour, I could probably give you a detailed answer. But what I would say is that if I had to start someone, you know, today, tomorrow, of the three guys in the top, I would probably lean towards Jaden Daniels. I think he just has a consistency to his game. He has a playmaking upside that I get really excited about. Is he a perfect prospect? Absolutely not. So, like, do you still need to insulate him? Do you still need to make sure that you're kind of speaking to what he does well? 100%. And then I think, honestly, again, if I had to start someone today, it's probably J.J. McCarthy would be next. I know a lot of people get a little bit spooked by that, but when you watch this film, man, he's got a ton of NFL throws, tight windows, a deep understanding of progression and timing and rhythm. He has a live arm. I think one of the reasons people come out of his pro day so excited about what he can do is it's the first time they've seen him throw in the media, on the media side of it, and they realize, man, he is a talented son of a gun. He can run the football, throw the football at a high level. And I think if you're aiming for upside, I think you're looking at Drake May. So I think if you can kind of find a way, and I think Adam said this, a couple days ago, like to have him sit for 8 weeks, something like that, let him grow, let him develop, clean up some of that fundamental stuff. I think his ceiling's probably the highest, but I do think there's a lot of risk associated with that pick. So if I had to pick someone to start for the Commanders tomorrow, it's Jaden Daniels. But again, I think the other guys, there are visions and pathways where they would be the pick, given the infrastructure that they've been able to set up on the team. And so I think that's something that, only Adam knows, but something to keep an eye on over the next couple of weeks is how they start talking about, their vision for the quarterback at that spot. And what I mean by that is, like, is he going to sit? Is he going to have to play a lot? Are we going to run the football? Those types of comments, I think, will better inform kind of the direction that the team is thinking with regards to that position.
Logan, gotcha. Thanks as always, man. Go train those clients, and we'll talk to you again soon, man. We appreciate it.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Yeah,
yeah, man.
That's Logan Paulson, former Washington tight end. He co-hosts the Take Command podcast with Craig Hoffman from the Team 980. We always appreciate his insight into draft prospects and film. He's very good at breaking it down. All right, coming up next, we will get into Nationals opening day and Orioles opening day. They were radically different. We'll get into them next here on
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
A fan. Kevin McCarthy will join us in just about 15 minutes, tell you what to see at the movies this weekend. So yesterday was both Orioles and Nationals opening day.
Mm-hmm.
And one was really good and one was not so good. Let's start with the not so good. The Washington Nationals took it on the chin, 8-2 in a loss to the Reds. Josiah Gray had a rough outing.
Yep.
4 innings pitched. Allowed 8 hits, 7 earned, struck out 6, walked 2 in the loss.
Gave up 2 bombs to Nick Martini.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't good.
Montas gets the win for the Reds. The Nats have the day off. Nats bats were pretty quiet in this one, though Joey Meneses did have 2 hits in this game. They only managed 6 hits. Throughout the game.
Yeah, Abrams and Lane Thomas both went 0 for 8, and they struck out 4 times. I don't know, everyone's surprised Joey Gallo struck out 3 of the 4 times he was up.
Right.
But, yeah, it wasn't a good day. JoJo wasn't good. Lineup wasn't good. Montas was excellent. Mm-hmm. Only gave up 4 hits. Didn't walk anybody. Yeah.
It's not great when Abrams and Thomas both go 0 for 4.
Right.
And just, those are your setup guys. Those are your get on base guys, and let's knock them in.
Yep.
Like the beginning of your lineup. If they go over, it's going to make for a long day.
And the Reds have got a bunch of guys on the injured list, mm-hmm, right now, including 2 starters, TJ Friedl and Matt McClain. Right.
So
those guys would have been near the top of the order.
Mm-hmm.
But they're just an exciting young team that can hit. De La Cruz is a stud. I think he hit seven yesterday. Yeah, he was batting seventh yesterday. But they've got a bunch of injuries, but the Reds are thought to be maybe one of the favorites to win their division. So Reds are going to be good, especially in that ballpark. It's a short ballpark. They got a bunch of guys who can hit bombs.
Yep.
They can run. They added Montas to their starting rotation, so they might be, you know, they might be an 85 win team. Mm-hmm. I did bet them over 84 and a half for the season. Actually, 82 and a half, sorry. And I bet the Nats over 66 and a half. Also bet the Orioles over 90 and a half.
Yeah,
and so they were really good. Corbin Burns, who they picked up in the offseason, was excellent. Gave up an early home run to Trouter, but then he settled in. He struck out 11, I think, in six innings. He was awesome.
All I know is, Valdez, you can certainly chime in here. My Twitter was on fire with Orioles magic yesterday. Like,
there's a lot of excitement for
everything was going the Orioles the way yesterday.
I want to make it very clear.
Yes.
To listeners and the Nats fans, I did not put this together to juxtapose the two franchises.
Right.
I understand they're in two different arenas. One is in rebuild mode. Mm-hmm. One is in contention mode.
Sure. Absolutely.
I just want to know that I am not going to be comparing the two franchises this season for the remaining 161 games.
Right.
Uh-huh. This is not a Valdez Orioles thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just that is my disclaimer.
No, this is
the Nats fans.
This is the Orioles. Just there were so many good vibes around them yesterday.
I had FOMO.
Right.
I had FOMO yesterday.
Yeah, because like the new owners are out and about, like even before the game.
Yeah, the new owners were at Pickles buying the bar of beers like Josh Harris did at the bullpen.
Yep.
They even went up to the Coors Light flight deck in center field.
Yep.
When Cedric Mullins hit a 3-run bomb and the place was going nuts, they're buying beers for people up in the flight deck.
Yeah.
The city was on fire yesterday.
The
new acquisition just gave up one hit and struck out 11 people.
Yeah.
I mean, you have a Cy Young ace.
Place
on
was
your
probably
staff.
Crazy.
My oldest son still lives in Baltimore.
And you'll be
sellout.
You'll be going tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm going tomorrow. I think it's a 4 o'clock first pitch. Get to see gas him up, Grayson.
That'll be really fun.
My son Kurt walked by the stadium because he lives pretty close to Oriole Park, and he was like, "That place was buzzing." You just could tell like the energy around the building, even you know, not even with a ticket, just being on the street, could tell like something big was going on there. And, that's a great start for the Orioles.
I will say the new owner or new majority owner, David Rubenstein.
Yeah.
He was in the booth with Jim Palmer, Kevin Brown, and Ben McDonald.
He's a man of the people.
Man of the people, but he's got the personality of a fish.
Oh, he does.
Oh, really?
His personality stinks.
Yes.
Didn't see that.
It may not translate, but, like, he was, like, glad-handing, shaking hands with all the fans. He was going up to people that worked in the concession stands at the stadium. Dapping them up. I think he gave all of the ushers like a commemorative pin.
Yeah, commemorative
for opening
pin.
Day. Like,
that thing would be on eBay so
like
quick for
completely
me.
Completely the opposite of the Angelos ownership tenure. Like they're out and greeting
he didn't
the
have
fans.
He didn't have to kick them with the Angelos when they were down. He was very respectful. He said they left the team in a good spot in terms of the farm system and winning and everything like that. So
yeah.
And it was good vibes all around. Celebrating a good team, new ownership.
Well,
did you know David Rubenstein owns the Magna Carta?
I did not know that.
He bought the Magna Carta.
That's a pretty important document.
How much did he spend on the Magna Carta?
I don't know exactly. This is my real blind spot. I don't know exactly what the Magna Carta signifies. What's on the Magna Carta? Why it's important? But I know it's an important document.
it's to
What does it mean, Valdez?
It's a historical document that limits the power of the King of England.
I think you summed
it's
it
also,
up.
It's the framework for the Declaration of Independence.
Okay,
so it's a pretty big deal.
You summed it up.
He bought it. He bought
well.
It for $21.3 million.
Well, what is his net worth? I mean, he's probably a multi-billionaire.
Oh, I'm sure.
Probably.
He's gotta be.
Oh, I'm sure.
Is he a He's a hedge fund guy, right?
That was
like private. He's a private equity guy.
Yeah, that was his second. I think that was like his second career path after a lawyer and then working in the Carter administration.
Is it Rubenstein or Rubenstein? I'm not 100% sure. I'm leaning
I said
on you because you're the Baltimore guy.
I said Steen. So I don't know.
I think it might be Stein, but I'm not. Again, do not quote me on that. But that dude was out and about, and at least the early returns on the investment.
Not only did he buy it for $21.3 million, he bought it and then just gave it to the National Archives.
Oh, he did.
Yeah,
he just gifted it to them.
Gifted it to him. I believe he has a building on Duke's campus.
Okay.
That named after him.
So he went to Duke. Good.
Yeah, he went to Duke.
And then he went to University of Chicago Law School. I mean,
Chicago Law.
If you have a building named after you on a college campus, you've
given them a lot of money.
You've donated them a lot of cash.
Well, it's a good start. I mean, the one thing that's, you know, last year, obviously, with Baltimore winning 101 games, I mean, they were obviously, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
They were just missing that number one pitcher, that number one guy, the go-to guy. They went out and got him. And then they got swept by the Rangers last year. So now I think they're just fired up, man. They're just motivated. They know they're good. Burns is, you know, a true number one starter.
Mm-hmm.
He's experienced. He's pitched in big games. Their lineup is legit with all those young studs. I was surprised.
They don't even have their best lineup up yet, basically.
Right, right.
Because who knows when Holiday is going to come up.
Correct. And Jackson Holiday, their stud prospect, was sent down to the minors.
I think he's one of the odds-on favorites to win Rookie of the Year.
Yep. And so they're ready, man. I mean, I was surprised that they went out so easily last year to Texas. Texas was the World Series champ. All right, they were awesome. But I was kind of surprised they were swept that easy. But I guarantee that stuck in the minds of those guys in the offseason. They're ready to contend for a World Series this year. And it started out nice with an 11-3 romping of Mike Trout.
And getting back to the Nats for just a second, they have today off. Back at it tomorrow. You got to pin your hopes on Patrick Corbin.
Did you see the
second start?
Did you see it made me very happy? Anthony Rendon booed by the crowd at
and
Camden
he struck
Yards.
Out twice.
Not really shocking.
And had an egregious error.
Did he have an error?
Yeah.
Quite a near home coming for him back in the
I think a lot of baseball fans dislike him for his comments about this is a job to him.
Right.
He doesn't really care.
He doesn't really care if they win. Well, he didn't care yesterday.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, we will be joined by Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. He'll tell you what to see at the box office or maybe even to stream from home this weekend. He'll join us next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.